Take your Bibles and open them to Joshua chapter 1. Let me say thanks to Cody Curtis for leading us. Brother, thank you so much for leading us in worship. And Lee Wilson, thank you for praying as we pray for our world and we intercede. How good it is to see you. How good it is to, as I was walking over this morning, how good it is to see bicycles littered across the way, and entrance is welcome back to Union. We're glad that you're here. And we're so glad that you're here. Joshua chapter 1, I want us to think this morning about God's word to Joshua, where he says, "Now, therefore, arise." Hear the word of God. Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." This is the word of the Lord. You know, it's hard to imagine, especially for some of you who are freshmen, but there's coming a day in your future when you will experience personally the blessing of your own children. You will be parents. There will be another human being on this planet who calls you mom, who calls you Dad. If that's an overwhelming thought, it should be. You thought getting ready for your next assignment was a big deal. Dr. Mitchell mentioned that I have five sons, and one of the things that I'm learning is that it is foundational for a parent to provide children with a sense of security and certainty. For children to feel secure, for them to be secure, for them to have a sense of certainty, for them to operate and live in a secure and certain environment. Security and certainty are often scarce during times of transition. There is this indirect correlation between transition on the one hand and security and certainty on the other hand. Often when transition is happening, security and certainty decreases. Often when we find ourselves in a more stable environment, when there's less transition, we find that we have a stronger sense of security, a stronger sense of certainty. Jeff Orge, in his book on leadership, the president at Golden Gate Seminary, says, "People simply abhor uncertainty. They want to know what is happening to them, what is going to happen to them, and when it's going to happen." And we spend a lot of our lives trying to avoid uncertainties, do we not? We spend a lot of our lives trying to avoid that transitional or in-between time. But the more I live, the more I'm realizing that life is not so much about times of certainty, but it's about times of uncertainty. Life is one series of transitions after the next, is it not? You just transitioned from class to chapel. After chapel, in a few minutes, we'll transition back out of chapel and into class. Those of you who are freshmen at Union, you have just made a significant transition in your life. You've transitioned from life as a high school student to life as a college student. Yesterday, I spent time talking with one of you students who is about to transition from being a single person to being a married person. This weekend, we will celebrate Labor Day, and hopefully you're not going to labor that much. But we will transition during this three-day weekend. Aren't you glad that the second week of school has a three-day weekend? We will transition from this week that we're in to next week that we're going to be in. And Stephen Covey says that there are three things that we as human beings have before us, regardless of who we are, regardless of where we live, regardless of our station in life, that there's always before us change, there are principles, and there are choices. You've got those today, you've got those this weekend, you've got those in front of you. Change, principles, and choices. Change. We live with it. It's all of the time happening around us. As a parent, I believe it's true that sometimes the only person that likes change is a wet baby. Change is all around us. God has been good and gracious to us to give us the principles that we find in His Word. He's given us many principles. And on top of that, as Covey says, we also have choices that are always before us. You're making choices today. We're making choices tomorrow. We're making choices all of our lives. The question for us in times of insecurity, in times of uncertainty, when we feel as though things are not that secure around us, the question we have is, in the midst of this change, are we going to make choices in accordance with the change that is happening around us? Are we going to be driven by the changes? Are we going to be driven by what is happening all around us, our circumstances? Or are we going to make choices based not on our changes, but on the principles which are true and never changing? This semester, you will make a series of choices. You're going to experience a lot of change in your life. The choices will change on a daily basis. But the incredible opportunity that you have is to make choices based on the principles that God has given to you, not based on the changes that are swirling around you. In Joshua chapter 1, what I want us to do this morning is pull out five principles that we can potentially use in the midst of uncertainty. Not just our own lives, but throughout the world, as Lee led us in praying, we realize that there is instability all around. Five principles that we can make choices based on in the midst of our changing circumstances. Number one, God is always doing more than we see. That's the first principle. If you find yourself in a time of uncertainty or insecurity, look to God's Word and realize that God is always doing more than we see. Look at verse 1 of Joshua chapter 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Significant change is in Joshua chapter 1. Moses has been the leader of God's people for 40 years. For 40 years, they have followed him. It was Moses who led them out of Egypt. It was Moses who delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh. He delivered them from slavery. They crossed the Red Sea. And now when we open up the book of Joshua, we find that Moses is no more. And reading scripture and following God is a lot like being a photographer. Now, I'm not a photographer nor the son of a photographer, but I understand that there are two basic things in addition to push the button. You can zoom in, right? Can I get a photographer's witness? You can zoom in, and you can what? Zoom out. This is a sharp crowd, Dr. Mitchell. You can zoom in, and you can zoom out. In many ways, reading scripture requires being a photographer, having a lens, where there are times when we read scripture and we're zooming in, and there are times when we're zooming out. Now, Joshua chapter 1, if we zoom in, particularly on verse 1, when we zoom in and we look at that particular circumstance, when we look at what is happening in that one verse, we can get discouraged, can't we? Moses is no more. Moses is dead. God uses in verse 2 very stark language. When we zoom in into particular parts of God's word, or when we zoom in to particular things that God is doing in our life, it's very easy for us to become myopic in focus. And that is why every once in a while, as we're reading scripture and as we're following God, we must back off. We must zoom out and look at the big picture. The big picture of what God is doing. And when you look at Joshua chapter 1, you realize that Joshua chapter 1 is not just about a little leadership transition between Moses and Joshua. It is about a much bigger picture. It's the bigger picture of what God is doing, the greater work of redemption. You see, the Bible is one story. Now, there are a lot of stories in this book, but it's one story that's made up of lots of stories. When we zoom in to Genesis chapter 12, we read about God calling Abram to be the father of many nations. When we zoom in, we see that. When we zoom in to the end of the book of Genesis, we read about Joseph and how God called Joseph to be the one who would protect these people while they were slaves in Egypt. When we zoom in into Exodus chapter 3, we see God speaking to Moses, calling him out of the burning bush. And when we zoom in, we see what God is doing in Moses' life. When we zoom in later into scriptures, we read about what God is doing in the life of David as God, in a little picture kind of way, is calling David to be the king over his people. A part of this great story is God using prophets like Amos and Jeremiah and Isaiah to speak to his people. A part of this big story is God reaching down and speaking to a teenage little girl and saying, I am going to bring the Messiah, the long-awaited one. I am going to bring the Messiah through you, Mary. We look at the Gospels and we see the little picture of what God has done in sending Jesus to the earth. He was born, he lived, he died, and he was raised for our sins. There are times that we zoom in and we see the little picture of what God is doing, but let us always realize that in the little picture of our own circumstances and the little picture of our day to day, God is doing a much bigger work than we can see. There are times in our lives when we all, from our own vantage point, look at things right under our noses and say, God, are you here? God, do you care about what is going on? God, where are you? But let us remember that in it all, God is in it all. And let us remember that all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Number two, God intends for us to move forward. God always intends for us to move forward. Look at verse 2 of Joshua 1. Moses, my servant, is dead. There is the stark language. Now, therefore, arise. There's the blatant call. Go over this Jordan, you and this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. God makes a forthright, matter-of-fact statement to Joshua. There's no beating around the bush here. There's no euphemistic language. There's no sugarcoating it. God acknowledges the reality of the present situation, and he wants Joshua to see it well. But the starkness of the declarative statement is surpassed only by the directness of the imperative statement. On one hand, Moses, my servant, is dead. On the other hand, now, therefore, arise. And if there's ever been a word for us as God's people, it is now, therefore, arise. Now, therefore, arise. Today, now, therefore, arise. Tonight, therefore, arise. Tomorrow, therefore, arise. God always intends that we move forward. Sometimes when we find ourselves uncertain, or sometimes when things are, when we feel insecure, or during times of transition, sometimes we have the tendency to fold our arms, slow down, and maybe even stop. But you know, that is not what God desires for us as his people. My oldest son, Jack, is 10, and he's playing fall baseball this year. We played spring baseball. We're playing fall baseball. Last week, we made the decision that my wife, Amy, would carry him to practice, and I would stay home with the other four boys. I got the short end of the stick. So as I'm trying to take care of the boys, I get a text from my wife that says, "Hit in face with ball." What do you do with that? Hit in face with ball? No context, no front porch to the conversation, no, nothing. So I text back and I'm like, "Who? What, Jack? By a hit?" Well, Jack was pitching. And after I'd called, tried to call several times, she finally answered after they had gotten through the crisis, and Jack had been hit right here with a line drive after he'd pitched the ball. And he came home that night, and boy, it was big, and I ended up carrying him to the convenient care and got it worked on a little bit. 3 days later, we were going to practice. And as we were driving, Jack said, "Dad, I'm not sure that I want to pitch tonight." And in my head, I'm thinking, I wouldn't want to pitch either. And I said, "What are you going to do if Coach Oliver asks you to pitch?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "But I think, even though I don't want to, I think I need to get back on the mound." And I said, "Jack, it's real easy for me to say it, but I think you need to get back on the mound too." And that night, he pushed through his fears, he pushed through his uncertainty, he pushed through his insecurity, and he got on the mound. There are going to be times in life when we're knocked off of the mound. There are going to be times that hurt. There are going to be times that are difficult. There are going to be times that cause us to show up the next time insecure and uncertain. But God's expectation is that we move forward. God has gifted you in incredible ways. God has given you minds and hearts for himself. God has wonderful things planned for you. God's expectation for you is to get on the mound and to take your gifts and your abilities and your intellect and your heart and use them for the sake of Christ in this world. Don't fold your arms. Don't slow down. Don't stop. Move forward in what God has for you. Number three, God does what he does. There's this interplay between what God is doing and what Joshua is doing in Joshua chapter 1. When it comes to following God, the question is God doing it or am I doing it? And the answer is yes, it's both. Verse 3, notice the first person pronouns. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you just as I promised you. Verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you in all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. You see, God does what he does. And he allows us to be a part of what he's doing. We do not do a work for God. Rather, God is the one who works and allows us to be a part of the work that he is doing. I love it the way Paul says it this way in Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. That's you. With fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you. That's God. That's our part, that's God's part. It's God who works in us both to will and to act according to his good pleasure. Principle number 4, God promises his presence. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. One of the greatest promises that we have in all of the scripture is that God is present. Sometimes we zoom in and we wonder, God, where are you? But we must zoom out and realize that God has promised us again and again and again through his word that he will be with us. In almost 2 months, a little over 2 months, we will begin to celebrate Christmas. Can you believe it? And the presence of God is foundational to what Christmas is all about. In fact, it was long ago that a prophet said, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. God with us. Today is different than yesterday. Yes, it's very different, but God is with us. I hope that some of you will take advantage of the opportunity to go with Lee to Israel. Jesus said this, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am what? With you. As we've been given the commission to go, God has given us his promise, the promise of his presence. The fifth principle is this, God gives his word for our success. Don't you find it very interesting that the first thing you read God doing in Joshua chapter 1 is speaking? It says in verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun. God didn't have to speak to Joshua. God didn't owe Joshua anything, but yet God spoke to him. God gave him his word, and God's expectation for Joshua was that he listen. Then he says in verse 7, be strong and courageous. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Faithfulness to God always begins with listening to God. We want to be faithful to what God has said to us in his word. We focus not on the changes of our circumstances. We focus on the principles of God's word. And we make choices, not about the principles in light of our circumstances. We make choices about our circumstances in light of the principles that God has given to us. And God, in his grace, has given us his word, and he expects us to listen. From the very beginning, when God walked through the garden, his expectation was that Adam and Eve listen. When God spoke to Moses through the burning bush, his expectation was that Moses listen. The book of Leviticus and Numbers opens, and what you find in the opening of these books, which we don't read that often, is Moses listening. The writer of Proverbs says in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34, blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. In Matthew 17, Jesus takes his three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, and they go up on what we call the Mountain of Transfiguration. And there they're met with by Elijah and Moses, who are there. And Peter does what he often does in the New Testament. He decides he's going to start talking. Isn't that what we do when we don't know what to do? We start talking. Well, Peter starts talking. And the closest that God in the New Testament ever came, we don't say this at our house, but I'm going to say it here, the closest that God ever came to telling someone to shut up is in Matthew 17. Because God interrupted everyone and said, "This is my beloved Son whom I love. Listen to him." Stop talking. Cease striving and listen. God has given us his word for our success. And I believe that this may be a part of why Alistair McGrath says in his book, Beyond the Quiet Time, that there's a real danger that evangelicals will be so busy doing things for God that they crowd him out by their very activity. Our desire to do things for God can easily get in the way of God's desire to do something for us. To be active in the world, we must be receptive towards God. And that means making space to listen to God, to read the Bible, and to come before him expecting to receive guidance, encouragement, and nourishment. Uncertainty is always around us. We have before us always choices, principles, and change. The question for us is, are we today, this semester, this year, are we going to make choices based on the principles that we have? Or are we going to make choices based on the circumstances which are always changing? God has given us his word. Let us be faithful to him. Would you stand together? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for being a good God who leads. Lord, so often we pray that you would lead us. And those words, that prayer rolls off of our tongues in such an easy and sometimes flippant way. Lord, we understand that your leading requires our following. And we pray that indeed we might be sensitive followers for you. That indeed we might move forward. And indeed that much glory might come to your name through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray. Amen. Have a great weekend.